Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Today's guest brings an unexpected blend of business savvy and stagecraft to the world of small business leadership. Carl Walsh, my guest, is an award-winning actor, seasoned corporate director, and small business coach who believes that the strongest relationships and the greatest successes start from within. As co-host of the Oval Table podcast, and co-founder of Alpha Dogs Business Coaching, Carl works with entrepreneurs and business leaders to foster open communication, critical thinking, and creativity. In this episode, we're going to look at how lessons from the theater, like presence, empathy, and trust, can shape thriving teams and help businesses flourish from the inside out. It makes me think of a cartoon movie that I keep wanting to see called Inside Out. This has got lots of lessons.
Yes. Right? Yes. There you go.
So welcome to the show, Carl.
Well, thank you. And by the way, Oval Table Project, I kind of like that.
Well, that's good. We may work
on that.
Feel free to use it. Okay. Yeah. Slip of the tongue, can you never know what that can mean and bring. So where should we start? I think I'd like to start with the fact that you've had actually, and you and I, when we first spoke, which I love to do before I have guests on my podcast, I don't like going in blind. I like to feel I'm starting to build a relationship before we come onto the podcast. Mm-hmm. And when we did have our chat, I was enamored with your years in the theater and in England and
Royal Academy of Dramatic Art.
Right. Yeah, in London. Mm-hmm. And, shared with you some of my stories about theater and how I love it and don't get enough of it. So I want to know from your unique journey. Oh, I've got it written down. See, I should have said it right. From the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London to being an IT director and a podcast host and a business coach. What's the through line that connects all those roles for you?
Oddly enough, it is relationships. When I went through acting, the relationships that you form with the people that you work with, you start working on the relationships between the characters. That's the glue that holds every play, every film, everything that happens on stage or in front of a camera is all about the relationships between the characters. Even an Arnold Schwarzenegger action movie, it's all about the relationships between the characters. When I became a director on stage, again, it was the relationships that we're trying to find and the relationships between the director and the cast, because remember, I have a vision as a director.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get everybody on board with that vision. So I'm trying to work everybody towards that. And that needs relationships like crazy. Really does.
Yeah, I can see that. Can I stop you there for a second?
Sure.
Because it makes me think, and I love this angle in that I listen to a fair number of podcasts, but I listen to the entertainment kind of podcast, in particular mm-hmm. one called Smartless, which is three crazy guys that interview people in the film industry, in the entertainment industry. And quite often they have directors on and celebrities and movie stars and whatever. And something that you just said kind of made me think from that experience as well, listening, is so you would have to, as an actor, you're going to bring, the actors are going to bring to the role what they perceive they should build the character to be. But now as the, and then between their personal one and the person they're acting opposite, those have to jive. And then your position as a director brings in, okay, wait a minute, guys, that's great. But my vision is this. So You're like the,
And you can't do it like that. You cannot
yeah.
do it like that. You cannot say, wait a minute, this
Right.
is my vision.
Right.
You
You have to.
can't, you have to find what their vision is and then move it gently
Yes, because they're all
into a
got big
cohesive.
egos, right?
Yeah, because you and you can't have 12 different visions up there. You have to move everybody into a cohesive vision. Do you see where I'm going as far as business goes?
I was just going to say that. Absolutely. Yes, it starts to influence the way you approach leadership
Right.
and business communication.
I can give you a perfect example of what happened on stage to me once and how it translates into
Oh,
business.
please do.
And I think people will recognize this if they've had this. My first Shakespearean lead in London, an American doing a Shakespearean lead
Yes,
in
yeah.
London. Do you think I was nervous? And it was The Winter's Tale, which is a one of Shakespeare's what they call a problem play, because it's a little strange.
Okay, I don't know that one. It must be not one of the most popular, right? So,
Well, it is in England.
okay.
It is done relatively frequently, but it's not Hamlet or
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet. So, I'm a 21-year-old, 22-year-old actor playing this middle-aged king who is absolutely shot through with jealousy and hatred, and these are emotions I don't understand. At that age.
Sure.
Well, our director, we were actually rehearsing upstairs at a pub in the afternoon, and that's not unusual. But he would sit in the back of the room, and he always had a pint of beer in his hand,
Sure.
and he would sit there and drink those pints. And we would rehearse a scene and look at him and wait for him to say something. And he would say, yeah, fine, fine. Next scene. And we got no direction from him whatsoever.
God.
None. And, at first we're thinking, gosh, we must be pretty good.
Right.
And all the rehearsals went like that. We got no direction whatsoever. And we're struggling to get through this. And I finally developed an attitude of why was I given this lead in this terrible play? It's just awful. We're awful. This is a disaster that we're heading towards. Ever feel that in business? And of course, opening night came and you always hope it'll work out on opening night, just like they keep saying in Shakespeare in Love. And of course, it was a disaster. Just awful.
Oh
Just
my gosh.
so I go to the canteen at the academy, and I go up to the bar, and there he is, about 3 feet away from me. And he looks over at me, and he says, "Where do you suppose we went wrong?"
Oh my gosh.
It's a good thing murder is illegal because one would have happened right then and there.
Oh my goodness.
And all the years since then, I've held a grudge against that play.
Yes, I'm sure. Were you a student then, or were you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so
Yes.
great. He didn't help so much. Okay. But in a way,
Yeah.
he did. Yeah.
And then recently, I heard an audio version of Judi Dench's book that she recently wrote. And it just so happens that w The Winter's Tale is one of her absolute favorite plays. And she describes what it's about and what the relationships between the characters are and what's
Wow.
driving this man and what's driving the other people. And I realize it really is one of Shakespeare's most beautiful plays.
Interesting.
And now I wish I could do the play.
Yes, and what a disservice in a way that that director, did he get fired? Did you guys all, were you able to
Well,
affect
I did
anything?
let the principal of
Oh, good.
the academy know, don't ever let anybody work under him again.
Oh my gosh.
Don't do
Yeah.
that to people.
Yeah. But great lesson there for sure. Yeah. So I'm just going to mention your podcast, The Oval Table. And in it, I think you emphasize, you interview groups of people, correct? Around a table,
no,
so to speak.
No, oh, no. Okay. The Oval Table is our concept on how to run a small business or a division of a large business.
Yep.
Our belief is, and I certainly saw it when I worked with Disney, you have a brain trust right there. In many ways, you don't need a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
You have it right there, and it's often ignored. It's usually ignored. So in a small business, you have the guy at the loading dock. He's a thinking, sentient human being. He has ideas. Are you bringing him into the decision-making process?
No,
you have people in the warehouse. Are you bringing them, the receptionist?
My
Are you
favorite.
bringing
Yep.
them in? Because
yeah.
they have contact with your vendors, with the public.
They're
Are
the
you
first
bringing them
line of
in?
contact for anybody who
Right.
comes
And
in.
those people usually are not brought in. And if they aren't, well, they're just swallowing their ideas.
Right.
And, okay, first of all, you are wasting that brain power and that talent.
Yeah.
Second of all, are you retaining them?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably not. And how much does it cost to replace people?
Mm-hmm. Third, you're not building their sense of pride in what
right.
they do and so on.
So they don't have any skin in the game.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so are you getting commitment or are you getting compliance? And which one's better?
Right. Yeah, my note says here that you emphasize respectful disagreement and listening, and I would say probably active listening, right?
Right.
And so then your podcast then what brings in people?
We bring in business experts and everything from authors to actual business professionals to talk about how they do it.
Got it. Okay.
And for instance, I brought in my VP that I worked for at Disney, who I thought was just one of the best people in the world that you could ever work for. And we talked about how he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 49 episodes where we brought in people like that
Mm-hmm.
to talk about how what is the correct way to run a business. And it was very interesting because all of them had a through line that ended up at the Oval Table.
So you've already mentioned Disney twice, and I've had another gentleman on my podcast, Vance Morris, who worked for Disney for many years in his early days. And you both, I know, have spoken about the same thing. It really is the best place on earth to work there too, right? Because they have such great leadership. They have great philosophies and strategies
Right.
that teach you, and it's a great place to get great business experience. Do you want to talk about
Exactly.
that for a minute?
Yeah, sure. I can give you examples of what they did when I was there. I can't speak to the
sure.
what the company is today, though they're
Right.
doing pretty well.
Yeah. They're still,
but,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I
so
think
they're doing something
I always
right.
say there's only like 5 to 6 companies in the world that own everything, and they're one of them. So, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. So in the IT department there, what we did, we considered the, and I worked for the Disney stores.
Right.
When I started there, there were 165 stores. And I thought when I walked in, there are 165 Disney stores. Geez, how many does the world need? Yeah, when I left there, there were over 600.
Wow.
And we opened up all the countries that they eventually went into. I had a blast doing that.
Oh,
And
I
they sent
bet.
me around the world. They sent me to work in England. They said, let's send Carl. He speaks the language. But what we did is we considered everybody in that corporate headquarters and our stores, they're our customers. And we treated them as our customers.
They were your customers,
They
absolutely.
were. And every 2 weeks, we had a meeting with the heads, or at least the representatives of every department in the corporate headquarters. And what we did is we sat down and we always had a list of the projects that they needed us to do. And we sat down and they got to decide what is the most important project for the corporation.
So
And
they're
some
buying
of
it
their
pretty high.
projects, yeah, some of their projects never rose to the top, but they made the decision. So if your project never made it to the top, you understood why. And you probably didn't vote for it to go to the top. And because you understood. And this got us so much buy-in that it kept everybody so happy with what we were doing. And we could give them updates on when they can expect completion, what stages were we in. We gave them a complete update on the top projects and where they were. I didn't see that in any other company I ever worked for. IT said, well, this is important. And
Yeah, that you
the
send the list in and they've got the list and they decide. That's what
yeah, where,
yeah.
whereas we let them decide
Yeah.
what's
Or
important.
my experience once was, it still is sometimes, is that you send your just with a company I'm associated with, you send your issues in and they have a list, but then the CEO takes them sideways to do a special project, which everything else now has to wait. Right? And it's,
And that's typical.
yeah, at his whim,
Yeah,
right? So,
that's typical. But let your customer decide what's important.
And in your case, it's internal customers. And it's funny because I used to teach back in the day, I did corporate training for a telephone company, and we sold, telephone equipment and voicemail equipment to the big law firms and hydro and all the big companies and small companies. But we also had kind of a loss leader for those as part of the sale that they could send their receptionists or their customer service people to a soft skills seminar, webinar one day, not webinar, seminar. That I taught about telephone skills and in-person skills and dealing with difficult customers and all of that stuff. But one of the things I remember saying is if you worked internally, who were your internal customers? They are your customers. And one of the things that the managers would say to me sometimes, because this was a big company, but it was a lot of worker bees and the back in the day the telephone operators and things like that. And so they'd come into the building and they looked like they were dressed for the nightclub or the beach, not for work. And they'd say, would you please talk to them about dress? And I said, well, it's a touchy subject. You can't really, you have to be careful. However, one of the things I remember saying is you never know who's going to be walking through your department. Could be the head of this, that, and the other thing, and you want to make sure that you're dressed beyond what you are right now so that you can always look to be promoted, et cetera. But it was a challenge, but they're
Yeah.
internal, right? So they don't
Right.
think about it. That's just took me back there. That was
Yeah.
took me.
But you see what we were doing at Disney was we were working the relationships and always putting that relationship first.
I love it.
And no other company that I worked for did that.
Yeah, you said you told me you had an experience after you left Disney that definitely resonated with how well you had been.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a company that was, it was a collection of silos. Every department was siloed and at war with all the other silos. And it was a company that had a virtual lock on the state of California. It just
Okay.
they were they I mean, how do you mess that up, right? And they did. They
Yeah.
almost went bankrupt.
Yes, they did.
And it was because they were at war within.
And is that because of the leadership at the top?
No leadership at the top.
Oh, no leader.
You had people in charge of departments that had been in charge of those departments for 30, 40 years. It was their domain, and don't you touch my domain.
Yeah,
And it
that's great.
was, oh yeah, it was, and had utter contempt for all the other domains. It was just, and after a year, I parted ways with them. And I think they were quite happy to part ways with me. It was not working at all.
So, you started or co-started your company many years ago, Alpha Dogs, right?
Yes. Well, it's fairly
Alpha
recent.
Dogs
We
Business Coaching. Yeah.
yeah, it was we started it six years ago,
Okay.
and it sort of evolved, really. It was when we did the podcast, we realized we're on to something here.
Got it. So the podcast came first.
When our ideas kept reflecting back to us by
Yes.
people who were really good at what they do, we
Yes.
said, yeah, we have something here. And we identified seven different business personalities that you
As
should have sit,
dogs.
right, that you should have sitting around the table. If you can. I mean, some small businesses are too small. You can't have
Right.
all seven, but have as many as you can. Because one of the largest mistakes that small businesses make when they're hiring is someone walks through the door and, wow, that person thinks just like me. I
Uh-oh.
love that. Hire that person. Big mistake.
Right.
Huge mistake. You now, I know this is a dirty word in some quarters today, but you want diversity. You want diversity in thought. You want
Yes.
someone who can see it from a different angle so that they contribute something a little bit different
Yeah, they
to the
see things
thinking.
differently. And
Yeah.
they have expertise in different areas to you as
Right.
well. Yeah.
Right. And what I found at Disney is they took input from everywhere. And so everyone had input and felt like they had helped make the decision, even if they went in a different direction from what you put in. But you felt like you contributed. So when they said student body went left.
Yeah.
And that's why it was so powerful, particularly in the 90s when I was there. The company was so powerful because when they said that direction, everybody went that direction.
You know, it's funny. I went to the grocery store the other day, and I went to the fish department. And it was a Sunday, and I knew the manager wasn't there. And there were two young people there. One was in the supposed fish area, and the other was in the meat area. And one was doing something, the other one wasn't. And he said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Well, can you answer a fish question?" Right? He said, "Well, I'm not sure." So as he came over, the girl said to me, "Oh, I can help you." So now they're both there. And I said they had some fillets of salmon that were this price. And then they had these little sections of a full salmon that were cheaper, right? And you'd have to cut them open, get the bone out, right? And so I said to the girl, "Could you fillet it for me?" Now it's cheaper, so I figured it's cheaper because I would have to do it, but I thought there's no harm in asking because if I know the manager, she might have done it for me, which I do, but she wasn't there. So they looked at each other. First of all, they didn't know how to do it. And second of all, they didn't know whether they should do it or not. And it just made me laugh. And of course, I walked away with nothing. And I said, it might be a good idea for you to check with the manager to see what the options are.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm constantly looking at customer service things. I can't help myself. But anyway, I just throw that in because.
And in any business, business, hey, folks, talk to each other.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't cost anything. Talk to each other.
And what am I allowed to do? What kind of decisions can I make on my own?
Yeah.
Because they look at each other like, you know, drives me crazy. Anyway, okay. So in your coaching through Alpha Dog, how do you help business leaders and entrepreneurs and teams go from conflict avoidant or hierarchical to more open and collaborative?
Right. Well, the first thing that we feel we need to do, first of all, is take the temperature. Get an idea, is information flowing? How does information flow through this organization? How are decisions made? That's sure. where we start.
Yeah.
So,
wait, I have to stop you there.
Sure.
Are you doing this individually, privately with each person? Because if they're
you
all
have to.
Yes, I was going to say they might not say. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. You have to.
Okay.
Right. Because if you talk to people individually, they're much more likely to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
So, right. And assure them this is confidential. We're not going to,
Fair enough.
And then you find out how that information is flowing. And are there bottlenecks? Where are the bottlenecks? All right. So once you do that, then you start introducing the idea of an oval table.
Got it.
And if the company's large enough, maybe you have a collection of oval tables.
Okay.
Maybe you have a team of teams.
Yep.
Which is what the Army does and why information flows so well there now. It didn't used to, but it does now in the Army. You have a team of teams. And then once you get that friction-free or frictionless flow of information going, things start to happen. It's not easy at first. It really isn't because it has to be a respectful flow of information.
People have their guard up to start with, and then
that's right. And so it takes a little time that people feel it's safe.
Yes.
And it has to be. Once you get that going, then we have some principles that we outline and we work on that what is a successful business, how do you know you're successful? And we have a graph. I don't want to get into that here, because then we're getting into the nuts and bolts of business, and really what we want to focus on here are the relationships. But once we have the information going and we get the relationships working correctly, then we start focusing on these principles that we have. Are you doing this?
Yes.
Are you making a real profit, or are you doing this EBITDA stuff that is phony profit? Are you working with integrity in all things?
Mm-hmm.
Are you know on you know, things like that? And we go down through them one by one by one, and once you can say yes, we do this, then we move on to the next one.
Okay, so sorry, I was just going to say
no, that's it.
Yeah, so do you have, say, a group of people come in and you start to see there's a lack of respect from this person over here to this person over here, and how do you deal with those kinds of things?
Well, at that point, then we have to get management involved on that. I mean, I can't, you know,
Right.
we're consultants. We
Yeah. Yeah.
can't discipline
No,
people,
exactly.
but then we have to get management involved and say, hey, we are
Yeah.
noticing
Yeah.
that there's friction over here.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What's the history?
Yeah,
We
okay.
can we, now we can take those people individually
Yeah.
and say, hey, we notice there's, you know, a little bit of friction between you two. Is there a history? And if we can mediate, fine, we'll do it. But I think ultimately it's management that needs to handle that. They need to do their job.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I've experienced that myself, and you
Yeah.
have to bring them in. Yeah. But so what's an average time frame that you spend with the
Oh
Ovaltine?
my gosh, that depends. That
Okay.
depends.
It could be months, it could be weeks, that
Yeah.
kind of thing.
And sometimes we do our audit of the company, you know, our initial,
Yeah.
and we'll say, we can't help you.
Okay.
Sometimes you just can't. And we're not going to take their money and their valuable time
Yeah, fair
if we
enough. Well,
think we can't help them.
that's you working in integrity, so I like that.
Right.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I have seen some of these consulting companies. I have seen it, like some of the big names. They go in there and they gut a company, they take their money, and they don't help them.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I can't, I hate that. I'm in retirement age.
Yeah.
I don't need
No, I
I
hear
don't
you.
need to pad my bank account. I do this because I love it and
Yeah.
because I want to help people, and my partner's exactly the same.
It's wonderful because you get to give
Yeah.
back your wisdom as well as you're still learning. And I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the way it's like the people that appreciate that and understand that and can see the wisdom that you can bring to help them, they're your clients. And you can choose in this day and
That's
age,
right.
right? So that's
That's
wonderful.
right.
Okay, just two more questions. What is, if listeners today, if my listeners want to start improving their internal business relationships today, what's one simple habit that they can build?
It's getting people to talk. It's getting people to help with the decision making. Use that brain trust that you've got right there. You've got it already.
Yeah.
Use it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Totally.
Yeah, bring the people in that like I said in the beginning, that guy in the loading dock, that guy in the warehouse, the receptionist is a huge vault of information.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, she knows who
Get her
treats
or
well
him
and who doesn't.
involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Okay, this is just me and my I don't know, my pop culture artsy kind of side. Who is your favorite person or persons that you met in theater and in business, and why, if you want to do both?
Okay. In theater, I have to say it's Angela Lansbury.
Oh, fantastic.
A magnificent woman. God bless her.
Yeah.
I was working at the National Theatre in London, and she taught a lesson without trying to, that I'll never forget. It was during the opening season of the National Theatre of Great Britain, and they were doing Hamlet. Albert Finney
Oh, love him.
was playing Hamlet, a rather aging Hamlet,
Oh, yeah.
but this was in 1975, so he wasn't that old yet.
Okay.
And Angela Lansbury was playing his mother, Gertrude, and the critics were not kind to her. Now, I thought she was just fine.
Yeah.
But critics gotta be critics. As soon as the reviews came out, the cast, a lot of young people getting their start, turned their backs on her. Many of them wouldn't even say hi in the hallway when they passed her. I mean, it was like she became radioactive. And that just ticked me off. This is a woman who had a career.
And they don't know her history, probably, these young bucks. And
well, geez, they should.
I know.
She had had a history that they would love to have. And, she had to leave in the course of the run. She had a commitment on Broadway. Her last night there, she brought in cases, had them brought in cases of some of the finest champagne that you could lay hands on, and had a whole spread catered for after the show. She took over the scene doc and had this all laid out for people and did the most gracious speech on thanking everybody for their support.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I'll never forget that.
Classy.
And just to show how wonderful fate is.
Yeah.
That commitment on Broadway was Sweeney Todd.
I saw her in that.
Which to this day is one of the most legendary performances ever done on Broadway. And I'm so glad that Broadway treated her so much better than her compatriots in London did.
That's a great story.
And that taught me a huge lesson about how to be gracious.
Yes.
When other people weren't gracious to you.
Fantastic.
And what an impact that can have.
Totally. Do you want to mention anyone in business? Does anyone come to mind?
Well, for me, it is, there's two people that I worked for in my business career. They both hired me when they got new positions in new companies for them. They would hire me, and these are people I respected tremendously. And when they would hire me, no greater compliment could be
sure.
paid. And they were Jesse Stan Carone, and who I worked for in several companies. Jesse Stan Carone is the one that got me into information technology.
Okay.
He started my career in that. And Bill McFarlane, who was my boss at Disney, and got me again to my work at Smart and Final, which was my final job in the corporate world. And both of them are the best people you could ever ask for.
That's wonderful.
To work with. It's I just look forward to going to work every morning, and I can't say that about every position I ever had,
Of course.
But with them I look forward to the office every morning, and that is a wonderful feeling.
Absolutely. Well, this has been delightful. I thank you so much for sharing your stories and for sharing your wisdom with my audience around so much to take in. You show us that relationships in business aren't just about client attraction. They begin with how we relate to one another behind the scenes. Whether it's a cast preparing for a performance or a team preparing for a product launch, the principles are the same. Listen well, value everybody's voice, each person, and build a culture of trust. If we want to grow strong customer relationships, we have to start with our own people. That's the stage where real transformations begin. And you have taught as well. Thank you, Carl. How can people find you? I'll put it in the show notes, of course.
Sure, of course. First of all, you can reach me personally, because I am a speaker as well as a podcast host and consultant. You can reach me at Carl Walsh Speaks. And so that's Carl at CarlWalshSpeaks.com.
Got it.
Or you can certainly reach me at the Alpha Dogs Group at gmail.com.
Okay.
Now there now some people turn their nose up at gmail.com. Let me tell you, if you use gmail.com, you won't go into junk mail.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's
I didn't
oh
know.
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, my own domain, carlwallspeaks.com, frequently goes into junk mail, which
Yeah.
irritates me highly.
Yeah, I
So
have the same issue. It's true,
yeah.
but we'll talk about LinkedIn after, and maybe that will
Yes.
help too. Thank you
Great.
so much for everything today, and I appreciate it. And I hope my audience will check out your work because I think it's well worthwhile. And let us know what you thought of the message today. Thanks for being here, and remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.